Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We're back on Valk's Valley. How many more podcasts are we going to do under this banner, under this Valk's Valley banner, before we change the branding?
I don't know. You just revealed it, man.
Maybe one or two. Well, I didn't say what it was. All right, we have to talk about the biggest story in Valkyrie's land right now, which is the Violet the mascot who hatched out of the egg. Not the biggest story, but it's a nice little lead. One, I like the idea. Did they have to make the mascot have bad eyesight? That's my main question. Like, I thought they may have leaned a little young, but maybe a lot of the fandom, you know, is maybe a little bit, a little bit older. Maybe that's what they lean to. But why did Violet have to have glasses? That's my question.
As someone who's needed glasses since the third grade, and I imagine you've needed glasses for the majority of your life.
But we're both wearing contacts. Can Violet wear some contacts?
Your genetics have given bad eyesight. I'm for the glasses. I feel represented as a member of the bad eyesight community that Violet is.
Could they have been cool glasses? Did they have to be like on the tip of the nose, like grandma glasses?
You know what Violet kind of reminds me of, and it's not a great. She kind of reminds me of like the Chuck E. Cheese mascots, you know, the Big Bird and like Chucky, and then also like the McDonald's like mascots they have when they did the whole, I don't know how caught in the pop culture you are, but there was the Grimace Shake. Mm-hmm. Takeover like a year or two ago. She kind of feels like Violet fits in one of those parties that she could just, you could just throw her into the Chuck E. Cheese thing and she'd fit right in.
So far, almost everything about the Valkyries branding, Valky Hoops, who's checking in, said that she's nearsighted. Everything has been very, I think, very well marketed, right? Like the colors and the logo and Ballhalla, like all of that stuff is very, very smart. And I don't dislike Violet. I actually like the idea of a mascot. I don't think it's necessarily uncool, but it's not like the coolest, you know, in that sense. So I don't know. I it may take a little while for me to get used to, but I just sense like young. But then again, you know, this audience is the people who are in attendance are not just little kids. It's all family. So maybe that's what they were leaning to as well. But
are you familiar with Ellie the Elephant for the New York Liberty?
Yes.
I feel like she is kind of the target for what every team wants in a mascot. And I can almost guarantee that the Valkyries were like, how do we make our own Ellie the Elephant? Because mm-hmm. it's not like any normal mascot where like you have, you know, the Giants or... I'm just trying to think of like the Warriors don't even have one anymore, but just like What's his name again? Louis the Seal or something?
Louis the Seal, yeah.
Louis the Seal? I'm so sorry. I forgot that. But
Lou Seal.
Lou Seal. He's fun out there. You know, he throws stuff around, but like Ellie like gets in it. Like she's got some like sass girl boss to the mascot that I feel like that should be like the target for like every type of mascot to like, it's not necessarily the character that you see in front of you. It's like the attitude and personality that the mascot itself has.
Yeah.
And so I don't think that the visual representation of the mascot matters as much as, you know, the personality. And it feels like they're already kind of leaning into sort of like the Ellie. And I'm not familiar with the rest of the WNBA mascots, if they're all are kind of like, you know, like Ellie, but, so I don't know. We just have to wait and see, man. Maybe Violet's up there.
But who was the player who was like trying to get Violet to shoot a layup and Violet couldn't make
it? Quentin Post, man. He took over Pod's duty. Where the hell has Pod's been? You see the jokes that they're saying that like Pod's was going to come out the egg?
Oh, that would have been amazing. All right. Yeah. Well, Violet is a nice little cool thing, and I'm sure there will be Violet dolls and Violet t-shirts and everything, so they'll do it well. This organization has been first class so far. All right, so what are we really going to talk about? Well, Valkyries are on a 3-game winning streak, and the last time we chatted was right before the Sparks game. They were sitting there tied for 8, and it was like, okay, post Kayla Thornton, are the Valkyries going to take a step forward or are they going to take a step backward? And if they took a step backward, it's completely like predictable and fine because they are an expansion team. You give them that grace. And they were like, nope, we are just going to make Kelsey Plum's life hell. And she's going to be so mad that she's going to kick people on the court. And they locked her down. She had a bad game. I'm sure she would say it was more her than the defense, but I thought the defense played really well. They figured out who they needed to stop. They stopped her. And then they went on to beat the Connecticut Sun. And then last night beat the Mystics. Kind of let the Mystics come back a little bit. They were up 36-12 in the second quarter. Mystics got within 3, I believe, in the fourth quarter. But that was the closest that they would get. Valkyrie still finished off the game. It was a little Warriors-y, by the way. It kind of reminded me of like the Warriors season. But they still got it done. So 3 wins in a row. They are in 7th, actually, not even an 8th in the playoff race. And I know that you're kind of wondering if they could even get to 6. Can they pass the Fever?
I think it's very possible. And just looking at it, the Fever are 18-15. The Valkyries are 17-15. The Valkyries have Chicago Sky next. Chicago's 1-9 in their last 10, 3-game losing streak.
Angel Reese still hurt, right?
Yeah, and I believe the Indiana Fever have the Washington Mystic in their next game. So I still don't know Caitlin's timeline. Do we know when Caitlin's coming back? Like, of course, that all like kind of hinges on that, but I think because of the uncertainty in her injury status, I think that the Valkyries could definitely pass them. And it's crazy like how, you know, where we said last week that it kind of feels like Western Conference-y for the NBA, where everything's within a couple games. Like last week, it felt like it's okay. Like, okay, can you just hold off LA? Like, can you just hold the 8th seed and hold them off? And now, you know, they're in the 7th seed. Seattle dropped to 8. LA is still 9. It's like, okay, well, now can you pass Indiana at 6? And it's not necessarily worrying as much about the teams below them, although they are. But in my head, that's kind of how I'm seeing it. And, you know, I've been wrong about this team a lot. I'm not afraid to admit it. I thought that they would be bad. I thought that, you know, Kayla going down would force them to miss the playoffs and have LA jump in. And while that's all still possible, the one thing I have been right about is Cecilia Zandalasini kind of taking a step here in the absence of Kayla Thornton. I feel like has been able to make her shine offensively. So we kind of have to see if that keeps up, because she's just a sharp shooter. And I feel like all the wheels are kind of clicking and going right now. Like, you talk about Kelsey Plum having a bad game. Like, yes, she did. But if you watch some of those possessions against Veronica Burton, she's just clamping her. Like, Veronica is just like just taken over the guard Kayla Thornton defensive player role. And Veronica is already a great defender within herself, but I kind of feel like she got, to me, overshadowed a little bit by Kayla. But now Kayla going down, it's like, oh wait, Veronica's kind of an all defensive caliber defender as well, especially of course against the guards. And I think that's mainly who her assignment is. But you know, getting matched up against Citron, and then getting matched up against Kelsey before, and you know, Chicago, she probably gets thrown on Ariel Atkins. So I think all kudos to Veronica for this push as well.
Wait, so do you think she's going to be in the running for most improved?
I checked the odds, and I believe she's top three. And above her are Azaree Stevens from the Sparks, and I believe it's Alicia Gray from Atlanta.
I've seen both of those folks in the mix.
And I don't know. I feel like the MIP is always a one where, like, do you look at just like stat to stat, or do you kind of, and there has to be context at some point, because, you know, in the NBA, it's just like, what top rookie, not rookie, but like what top, you know, top five, top 10 rookie in their third year kind of makes like the expected jump. You remember that year where it's like Jordan Poole was in his second or third year, and it looked like after JP's first rookie season, I was like, oh my God, this guy needs to get sent. He got sent down to Santa Cruz. Like, it just did not look good for him. And then he comes into the rotation, is a big reason why they go on the push. And I forget, I might've been the championship year even, but I think John Morant won it that year. It's like, mm-hmm. Dude, John Morant was the number two pick and looked like an all-star in her second year. Mm-hmm. In his third year, you're going to just give it to him. So I wonder what that is. I'm not as aware of the previous winners of the MIP and the WNBA, but just thinking of Alicia Gray, right? She's just three-time all-star. Like, I don't know, maybe more than three, but I know back-to-back-to-back now she's been all-star. And I believe she went from 15 points per game to 19 to now at 17. Mm-hmm. And then Azaree Stevens has had a little bit of a jump. I could just pull up the numbers right now, but it's clear that Veronica is just jumped in every statistical category, but that's also because she went from 12 minutes per game to 28 minutes per game. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a crazy jump.
Well, I mean, you go from getting cut to being a starting point guard on a possible playoff team.
Yeah, like she was seventh woman on Connecticut last year, and then boom, just right to starting point guard. And, you know, I feel like with context here, like maybe you're wondering, is Veronica Burton like fringe WNBA player that kind of gets cut like a Julie Van Loo? And like, does she have a longstanding position in this league? And I feel like if this year said anything, it's like, okay, well, she's going to have a long career in the W. Like, at worst, she's a, you know, the backup point guard. And that's a really good backup point guard to have.
And the Valkyries have her partial rights for next year?
I don't know. I could almost, I know everything is like in the questionable because of everyone's contract status, and maybe the Valkyries make a big splash in who they get, but I feel like I could almost guarantee that she's going to be the starting point guard for this team next year. Like, she's sure guarantee, right? Like, going into this year, it's like, I'm not sure if you'd, you know, she was unprotected by Connecticut, like, you know, but now
you've been talking to Kent Lacup since he left the Warriors organization or something. You're getting some inside juice.
Haven't made contact. No,
I just, you know me. She's my favorite player to watch. I just love her doggedness.
Yes,
I love her willingness to, I mean, she's picking herself up off the floor a lot of the game. She's created a shot that doesn't seem like it should work, like this little weird kind of step back push three-pointer that she's mm-hmm. been able to hit, just all the things that you look for in like a hard-working point guard. She believe, and look, I think she's talented, but she's not the most talented with the ball. She's not the most talented shooter. She's not the most talented scorer, but she puts things together in a nice little stew, and I think it works out for her. Yeah, Valky Hoops was like, yeah, when Kelsey Plum tripped her. That was just mere frustration. That was like, this girl's locking me up, and I'm going to take my frustration out on her. You know what's funny? You know who Kelsey Plum reminds me of a little bit? I just started watching the Diana Taurasi, the Taurasi documentary on Amazon Prime. It's really good, by the way. But Diana Taurasi, like, historically, her personality is kind of like, she's not there to say what you want her to say or to show this personality that's like, you know, like, oh, I'm like, she's like, no, she's like legit. She speaks her truth. She doesn't come across as like this like created person like you see in media today, in sports media. And that is something Diana Taurasi would have done just out of mere frustration, you know, kick out their leg because like, why not? Like, I'm so frustrated. Or dive for a steal and take out somebody's legs like that. Like, Diana Taurasi has many plays like that. And that's what that Kelsey Plum thing reminded me of, is like so mad and so competitive that you probably do something that you regret later on. Hopefully she reached out to Veronica after the game and was like, that was my bad. Like, that was just mere frustration.
Jackasses usually don't. So I don't know, but like, I know that, by the way, big fan of Kelsey Plum, but I know that I've heard, like, you know, you have your welcome to the W moment, but like there was also like your, like, Diana welcome to the W moment. It was like a different thing. Like, what was your first encounter with Diana? Like, did she hit you hard coming off a screen or something like that? So
yeah, did you get an elbow to the side?
Yeah.
You know, but just so she was just going to let you know that she was there.
Yeah. Really quick, though, let me just do this in like 10 seconds. Again, I don't know how much this factors into things just because of the complete minutes jump from Veronica, but 3.1 points per game last year, 11.2 this year. And then it's from a 12.7 minutes per game to 28.8. So that's a big jump in minutes. And of course, points too, like 3 to 11. And then just looking at Azaray, she went from 9.6 to 14.6. Well, basically, you know, minutes was, then that was points. And then minutes 24.7 to 28.8. And then Alicia, I have it here somewhere, but I might have just a lot. No. Anyway, it was like a 19 or like a 7. It was like a 2-point jump or something, or like a 4-point jump. It was like, but like the year before she was 19, and then she went to 15 and then to 17. It's somewhere in that mix of things. But I think it's clear from like the statistical category that Veronica has out jumped everyone. So I'm a little surprised that she's third. That doesn't even factor in the defensive stuff. So I'm interested on how that award's going to play out, because to me, I think Veronica, just going from not even stats, but how you view them as a player, it's like, I already viewed Alicia as like one of the best 3-point shooters in the league, a consistent all-star. And then with Veronica, I'm like, was she on her way to be like a journeywoman? And now she's a solidified, you want her on your team. Like, that to me is just like a status jump more than anything.
Where's Rekia Jackson at? Because I know she was hurt, but
second year player, I don't
from
think
from an eye test standpoint, man, she looks like,
yeah,
she looks like a go-to scorer, whereas last year she did not look like a go-to scorer necessarily.
Yeah, I don't know. I only saw the top three, but I can't imagine them giving it to a second-year player unless it was like a crazy jump.
All right, so the Valkyries' next four games, and this is where, you know, taking over Indiana might be a little harder than we think, because they do play Chicago on Friday. But then they play Atlanta, who has leapt over the Liberty to take over the number two spot. And then they got back-to-back games against the Mercury, who sit in the four slot for the playoffs. The Tuesday game, so basically Sunday and Tuesday are at Chase, Friday, and then the next Friday are away. And I don't know, Atlanta, Phoenix, your next three games after that Chicago game. That's going to be tough.
What's the home away on? So I know it's home against Atlanta on Sunday.
Then home Tuesday at Phoenix on Friday.
And looking at like Indiana, we got home against Washington, at Connecticut, home against Minnesota, at Minnesota. They got back-to-back Minnesota games home away. So very possible, because we see Indiana again, right? Yeah, we do. We see them on August 31st. Presumably, Caitlin's back, and I believe that's at Valhalla.
And that will be the first game that she plays in San Francisco if she does play, because she missed the first one, right?
No, I think she did play in San Francisco.
Did she
play? I think she missed the second. Yeah, she missed the second one when they were
That's
Indiana.
What it was.
So, we said last spot, they kind of have their number, so we'll see.
Last week you mentioned, when we talked about who could possibly be the go-to players with Kayla gone, you mentioned Cechi Zandalasini as a possibility, and she'd struggled. When she was in the starting lineup, they actually had a losing record, and these last several games, she has shown out. The shot has always looked sweet, but it looks sweeter than ever because she's just, she's heat checking in some of these games where she's like, I'm hot and this thing is going up. And she's been tremendous. Now, some of it is because just she's just so hot from three. Like, that's where she's shooting the majority of her shots. But I think, you know, part of this, these last several games and, you know, winning. Now, the Sparks were hot. I would consider them a good team because they were hot. But it's not like the Sun and the Mystics are world beaters. But still, you got to beat who's in front of you. And she has just absolutely came to play. What do you think about Zanda Lucini?
I kind of think it's a little bit of like finally getting some consistent games under her belt. Like, if you remember, to start, Talbot and Zanda Lucini were both out. Talbot came back in like game three or something, or game four. I don't think Zanda Lucini played until like, I don't know, it felt like a while until she first played. And then she goes to Eurobasket and then comes back. And then, you know, had that injury that was out for like 3 to 4 games recently, or 2 to 3 games recently. So I almost think it's like consistency with the Valkyries under her belt to like get more comfortable. And then, of course, Kayla going down has created the opportunity for her to start and to be a consistent starter and not have to worry about, you know, getting pulled and stuff like that. So I don't think it's like she's necessarily like changed too much, just outside of the fact that she's gotten to play consistently.
Mm-hmm. And she hasn't been hurt. Yeah.
She hasn't been hurt. So, yeah, like, it just looks like, I do wonder what the defensive adjustments are when it comes to playing some of the better teams, because like, how does she get any space ever? Just on catch and shoots, like, why is she ever wide open? Like, why are we not selling it? But again, the Valkyries do have like good 3-point shooters. I think Veronica's shooting like 38. Tip, although it's felt like her 3-point percentage and maybe attempts have gone down, like, I think she's still a respectable 3-point shooter.
Yeah, she's so. Still over 40% as of last night. But I don't think she made one last night. I think maybe she only took one or two, and I think she missed them.
Not that this changes anything, but I actually finished the game before we recorded. And so, of course, it's fresh on my mind. And I did notice that either in the second or the third, like, I thought it was a little clear that Washington was forcing Temi to like make a pass, and they were just stealing it. Like, 3 turnovers in a row in the second or third quarter from Temi didn't come back into the game.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of repair minutes. And then I forgot what they did to close it. I wonder if they went small, but no, I think Ileana Rupaire closed it, but I thought
that Rupaire got a lot of run, and I was actually surprised at her lack of chucking it, because there were moments where I thought she was going to shoot it, and she didn't. She made the right pass, and but you know, I just thought, when you have such a strong 3-point shooter as a big, like, just the threat of her, maybe the threat of her just opens up the offense for them. But I want to see her pull the trigger even more than she did. She did hit one in the corner yesterday. I think actually, I think it was maybe a Zanda Lucini swing. Zanda Lucini drew the entire team and threw it to the corner for Rupaire. They don't really, without Kayla, they don't really play small though, right? Like, can you think of a lineup of them where they, like, they're not playing Janelle at center and just run it? Like, they have at least one big on the floor pretty much at all times, I think.
I think you're right. I mean, did they do that before Rupaire came and Monique was healthy? Even then, I feel like Monique was always at least they had Monique.
Yeah, maybe that's the, you know, she's probably more 4 than 5, but she's still, she plays more. She plays like a big, though. She may not be as big as
she's like a Valkyrie's 5.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, they have 4 centers under roster right now, so I don't see them going small. If anything, they go bigger.
Yeah, I think so. I think they feel like they need to have somebody with some presence on the inside. And all of the, you know, Fag Benle is very athletic for her size, so it's not like she's a slow big. You know, Rupaire's not as athletic as Fag Benle, but she has that ability to shoot, so she stretches it in that way. I'm actually going to... So, by the way, Caitlin Clark, the only thing I could find on her was that She has not yet returned to full practice, but she has been doing full court running and on court movements. So that's the latest on her. That doesn't sound like she's coming anywhere close to returning, though.
Yeah, I feel like, what is it? It's August 14th. They play on the 31st. Feels like she'll be there and playing. But I guess that does, you know, the wonder here is how much longer she'll be out so that the Fever will have to play without her. The Valkyries might be able to jump. So, yeah, I don't know. But kind of just an extra point back to how the Valkyries play with like size or not. Like they are playing against Atlanta on Sunday. And I believe in both iterations of the starting lineup in the two games they've played against Atlanta, it was Monique at the four, Temi at the five. So they started with double big, and it's probably depending on who's healthy for Atlanta, because Atlanta goes Bree Jones and Brittany Griner. They just match it with double big, and they say our bigs can run faster than yours. So I imagine it's a Illy Rupert at the four, Temi at the five to start that Atlanta game.
I know this is a soccer name, and I'm going to screw it up and show my lack of soccer knowledge. Ghost of Gerolaitis says, wishing me here would get more minutes. She's a runner. Like, if you really wanted to go small, and, you know, you do, like, kind of the NBA 2K gimmick where you put, like, a super fast player at center to beat the other center down the court, that's... It is a tennis name, not a soccer name. What was I thinking? I think the picture threw me off. You would put Ami here at center and just say, okay, sprint down the court, beat the five down, and we get layups. But she also is very slim of stature.
Yeah, I mean, they have these bigs. All their bigs are not the prototypical bigs. They're like either fast or can stretch. Like Temi, like you said, very athletic, can run up and down. Ami here the same way, run up and down, repair, shoot. And then Monique can run up and down too. So, yeah, I mean, I like their versatility of bigs. I do wonder about the Ami here, like another DMP last night. And the other times, if it wasn't a DMP, it's, you know, last 2 minutes we have this game secured. So I don't know. I think they're just like, you know, we have Temi and Rupert. We're just going to keep switching both of them. There hasn't been a need for, and maybe there will be a need for Ami here if you're going to start both bigs against Atlanta. And I know we're skipping over the Chicago game here, but come on. But
I know. Those games are called? Those games are called trap games.
They are.
Lowe's knows you've got a job to do, and we help get it done. With the MyLowe's Pro Rewards program, eligible members save more. With volume discounts on qualifying orders through a quote of $2,000 or more. Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Offer can't be combined with any other discount, contract, and or special pricing. Exclusions, more terms, and restrictions apply. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Let's take a look at the lineups of late, because we had a comment on the YouTube channel the other day, and somebody said, when Caitlin Chen plays, the Valkyries win. And so someone else had popped in and said, like, you're like, are you being serious or not, or something like that. But it is kind of funny, because Caitlin Chen is a serviceable backup point guard when you need minutes, but you would very much prefer Veronica be on the court instead of Caitlin. But in some points of the season, it was almost like Natalie Nakase was going like, okay, we're going to get as many people on the court as possible. And then the Sparks game, she was like, we're playing this like a playoff, and we're only playing 8. And that has been kind of the way that she's done it since that Sparks game. It's almost like, we have a real shot at making the playoffs. We are preparing our team to play like we're going to be in the playoffs. And we're shortening this rotation. I've gotten a lot of data from all of the game footage, and we've seen a lot. We've given everyone a chance to play. And now here's what the output is, which is we're going with our best 8. And, you know, I was actually shocked because I didn't expect it, but I was like, all right, she's going for it. And it was actually really cool to see the rotation get shortened.
Yeah. I mean, if Natalie's told us anything, this entire year. It's that she just wants to win and, you know, doesn't care as much about what next year looks like or the year after. She's just like, I have what's in front of me and we're going to make it work. I almost wonder if the lack of Caitlin minutes, though, has also kind of gone hand in hand with the way Carla's kind of changed. And I only thought about this right now, but like you think of some of the earlier in the season, like Carla a little more sporadic, like always getting to the free throw line because she's just driving to the rim. And I kind of feel like we haven't seen a lot of that lately. And I almost wonder if that's by design that she's kind of running the offense how Natalie wants her to.
She's playing more like a point guard for sure.
Yes. So I think that when Carla's playing like the sporadic, like just kind of out of control, but also like good chaos in a way, like then they were like, okay, we want to put you out there with Caitlin because Caitlin Chen's going to slow us down a little bit and be like the seasoned vet out there, even though she's just a rookie. But yeah, Carla kind of changing that because I just thought about it. I haven't felt like we have seen that many like Carla just like dive to the rim where she just ends up like a big player just like lands on her.
Or just chucking threes as well.
The threes have looked better. Like I know that percentage probably still isn't that great, but just if you pull post All-Star break, I bet you it looks solid and it looks more believable. Like I'm instead of being like, I know this one isn't going in. I do think that I'm like, oh, she actually might make this one. And she has been. So, yeah.
Ghost says, don't you risk injury by stressing eight? And yes. You may a little bit. You still got, I'm sure Natalie is going to pick and choose her spots. I think at the end of that, the end of the Connecticut game, you did see some of the reserves get in. Yesterday, you did not. And I think that was because Washington made a late comeback. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they made a comeback. And so you weren't able to. But at the same time, if you get Billings back, then, you know, then you figure her into the rotation and maybe it is nine instead of eight. But at the same time, if you have faith in your bench, like if you believe that if needed, Caitlin can slot right in for Carla if Carla was to get hurt, then it's just sort of like next person up who's ready. We have these roles. So Valky asked when does Mo come back? So the information that I saw was when she got hurt, which was about 2 weeks ago, they said she's going to be reevaluated in 3 weeks. So we're not even at the reevaluation standpoint for Mo. So it does sound
after
like
reevaluation, it's probably at least another week.
Yeah, she's going to miss several more games. So but look, Rupert's getting more run, right? Rupert is figuring out.
That's probably good her that role. She's, you know, came in with very recently, like was it like the beginning of August she came, like August 6th or something, that she's getting this opportunity to kind of figure it out with this roster. Similarly to how, like I was saying, like, you know, Chechi just needed like games under her belt with this team to kind of figure it out. So it's in a way, it's probably good that Rupert is getting this extended run. But
so one of the things that I've been kind of paying attention to is last night Veronica Burton gets her career high. She goes for 30. I think Chechi also got her career high, right? Didn't she go for 20? And so what this does to me is it takes some pressure off of Janelle to be a scorer, and Janelle can just play smart basketball. I didn't sense that she was forcing a lot of stuff in the last couple games. Like, I thought she was taking really smart shots and really good shots. Like,
yeah.
And she wasn't getting the grenade at the end of the shot clock. Like, they didn't really have any of those problems of late. And they will, especially like when they play someone like Atlanta, because Atlanta is just going to rearrange their shot opportunities because they're so long. But Janelle seems to be playing with a lot more confidence and maybe less like pressure to be like a go-to scorer or like a clutch scorer. And she's just letting the game, like she's not even really taking the bad, and not bad because she's tall, so she can get these shots off, but she's not taking the contested shots as much anymore. And she's comfortable swinging it, knowing that her teammates are going to be able to hit open shots. So that's the thing that I've really liked about Janelle's game over the last week.
I actually have a tweet for this, and I don't know if you guys follow Hunter Cruz on X.
Oh,
but I think Hunter's a must follow.
I'm gonna go follow right now.
Hunter tweeted, since the All-Star break, Golden State has completely flipped Janelle Salon's shot diet. Over the last 10 games, she's up to 2.4 field goals attempted per game from 0 to 5 feet, and that was at 1.2 pre-All-Star. And then she's down to 1.6 field goals attempted per game from 10 to 19 feet, 2.8 pre-All-Star. So it kind of goes hand in hand with what you're saying, which is maybe smarter shots, doesn't get the grenade. There's still some stuff where it's like yesterday, you know, she got an offensive rebound and it pulled her out to the left corner and immediately she takes like a little fadeaway, like long mid-range. And I was like, I don't know if that's a shot, but you know, she's great. And I think just, you know, and I do critique her, but I am like, she's probably my favorite player. I like watching Carla maybe the most, Veronica too, maybe Tip, maybe the most, but I think Janelle's like our, you know, just someone who I want on this team for a very, very long time. She's definitely my favorite player on this current roster. But there's just, you know, some of those long middies that feel forced. And I will say that's felt like it's gone down. And I wonder if that's also because Chechi's taking some of that pressure off of hitting those shots. And I think they play well together. And you don't get that if this team is better with Kayla, but you don't get that if Kayla goes down as much. Those two kind of just playing together all the time. And I think it's a good fit.
How do you spell Hunter Cruz's Twitter name?
Hunter as regularly spelt. Cruz is C-R-U-S-E and then 14, the number 14.
Okay, there we go. Hunter Cruz. WNBA and prospect scouting. Okay, I'm already following Hunter.
I will be asking Hunter to be on this podcast when it comes to draft time, and we can get Conorado back on. We could have an all-star lineup of guests for the draft.
Hunter looks like a youngster.
Yeah.
Hunter and is also followed by Conrado. So they may.
There you go. Stamp of approval each other for the podcast.
There you go. all right. So is there anybody else on the team that you kind of want to talk about, you know, their improvement or not, or rotation or whatever? And if not, we can move on to kind of the last part of the show.
I think Tip's kind of drive and kick has looked like it almost looks a little crazier than in the beginning of the season, but some of those passes she gets off are just like pretty incredible. Like, I think there was a few Kate Martin three-pointers in that LA game that were just completely, you know, it was directly from a crazy Tip driving kick. And I know she was doing driving kicks earlier in the season as well, but I just feel like these are like, I just watch it and I'm just like in awe of, like, you know, they always say the driving, like you jump passes aren't good, right? Like the whole Tyrese Halliburton thing where he's like, no, jump passes are good. But, you know, your coaches always tell you don't jump pass. But Tip's got it down, like almost like Halliburton does in some ways. So that's kind of, yeah. Who else is getting run? Like Kate's kind of been a little bit of a consistent rotation player. That probably leads some Caitlin Chen.
Her job is literally just to sit in the corner and shoot threes.
Yeah. I wonder, like, it also made me think watching the game. I was like, dude, just having you stay in that spot.
I know.
Buckets.
Well, you know what? The other thing about you stay, by the way, there's a new, you turned me on to a podcast called, is it called Bounce?
Yeah.
And they did an episode right after the opener and the host said you stay's full name as well and did not get it. So
she didn't listen to this podcast. Well, I didn't get it right either. So
it is not just us. I think what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to take the audio of Yuste saying her own name.
With a good mic, though.
Yeah.
AirPod stuff.
We need her to say it correctly. Now, is it Yotsite?
That's what I think. Yotsite.
Yotsite. Okay. No, but if you think about how Yuste would fit into this offense, she would probably be doing a lot of the Tip decision-making where she would have the ball and she would kind of work the perimeter, pass or shoot. I don't know if she would get to the hole as much as Tip gets to the hole. And by the way, Tip's lefty, like layup where she stretches out that arm, it looks so pretty. I imagine it's going to fall a little bit more than it's been falling of late, but I love it when she goes so hard to her left and it's just hanging right there. And I think that's going to be very important for her to get late buckets in clutch games near the end of the season.
Speaking of lefties, so is Yuste.
Yep.
So she's got lefties on the roster. I think at the very least, just like, I mean, we're not going to get into next season. The only last thing I'll say about Eustace is, like, I think at the start of the season, she'll be in like the Kate Martin role where, you know, maybe some inconsistent minutes, and but you just get to like catch and shoot wide open.
She's going
to
force herself into some minutes.
Ah, I totally think so, too. I'm just thinking of like the start of the year. But like, I think that's like she's overqualified for that role. And I think Kate Martin's great. Like, I know I said last podcast that she's probably, you know, the greatest expansion selection ever. I didn't mean that as like a diss. I kind of just meant it like they still want her. You know, that's better than what you can ask for in a lot of these situations.
She's beloved. She's popular. She seems like a really cool lady. I mean, you know, she's perfect in the role that she's at. She's what, yep, the eighth or ninth person on the team. She can hit an open shot. She's going to try her hardest on defense, and she doesn't seem to have an issue when Natalie's like, okay, like we need to take you out for whatever reason strategically. She's like, got it, I'm out. And she's going to cheer for her team. Like, she seems like really the perfect teammate. And as the league expands, and as we bring in three more teams over the next couple years, she's going to have a job. Like, that's just what it is. She's going to be good peoples on somebody's bench. So,
yep.
Ghost says, do we think she's going to be around in 2026? Probably not, because she's probably going to get picked up in the expansion draft. That would be my guess, but
I agree with you.
Yeah. So, all right, let's get to some other things here. So actually, you know what? Let's talk a little bit about, the rest of the league here. What about those Las Vegas Aces, man? They actually look like a contender. Not quite a contender. Like, they're not quite in that like top two or three, but Asia looks better than ever. She looks like the best player in the league, especially with Collier out. I mean, she's been unstoppable.
I mean, Asia is the best player in the league. I don't think MVP is always who's the best player in the league. It's just who's the best that season. But I think Asia's been the best player in the league for like the past 5 years or 4 years or something. So I think like there were some stats earlier in the season where it's like Asia currently leads the team in this game in points, rebounds, and assists. It's like, what the hell? That can't be happening, even though how good she is. But what, now they're fifth, 7-3 in their last 10. They're, you know, one and a half maybe out of do they have a games back thing here? They do. They're one game back from fourth place in Phoenix. And God, I just hope we don't see them. I hope we don't see
bad
Minnesota, New York, and Vegas is who I don't want to see.
You know what? They could play with New York a little better than those other two teams. But yeah, they'll be two in barbecue for sure. But
they've had good games against New York, but I just worry that just casually adding Emma Meesam into your team and you know.
She had 24 the other night.
Just like, what?
They lost, though. They lost to the Aces.
But you can also argue that they're still, you know, figuring everything out. You know, Jonquel was out when Meesamen came in, so Meesamen was able to just like kind of take her spot while she was out, but now Jonquel's back, so how do you figure out the rotations? I think this is a good time for them, for Sandy Brondello to figure out the rotations and kind of lead into postseason. They're not figuring this out in postseason. They have these last 12 games to figure it out.
You know, I do wonder if the league was a little bit more competitive for like maybe those top four spots, if the injury timeline would be a little bit different for some of these top players. Cause like if you're Breanna Stewart and, or if you're New York and Minnesota, you're like, okay, like Minnesota already locked up a playoff spot and we still have like 15 games left in the season or whatever. So they're so far ahead. And if it wasn't like that, or if we maybe were later in the season, you do wonder if these ladies would be playing. But if they don't, if you're resting them for the playoffs, you want them for that stretch playoff run, because that's a tournament, man, and that's going to be the hardest basketball that they play. So it kind of goes back to what Ghost was talking about, is, you know, making sure that you have a strong eight. But at the same time, for the Valkyries, you kind of have to go for it now. You can't really wait, because if you wait, and you wait too long, you may miss the playoffs. And it looks like the Valkyries definitely want to get in the mix and be that like historical team, right? The historical expansion team to make the playoffs. It would be a big little thing. It won't be the banner necessarily for them. Like, Joe Lacob's not hanging that in Valhalla, but I think it'd be a nice thing for them, especially because, you know, they still say that they're supposed to win a title in within the first 5 years of the franchise. So that's a really, really good step.
Totally. I think I saw something that was like the Detroit Shock are like the greatest expansion team of all time from a win-loss record.
Were they 500?
I think they got... Well, how many wins do the Valkyries have right now? 17? The
Valkyries have 17.
I think the Detroit Shock got to 17.
Mm.
So the Valkyries have tied the most winningest expansion team of all time. And they're clearly going to beat that number.
Because there's 44 games in a season and they've played 32, so there's 12 games left.
Yep. And
you
I
go,
think Veronica
you go 6-6, you got 23 wins.
I read that on Marissa and Jemmy's story that Veronica is the first Valkyrie to score 30 this year. I guess I had to double take. I was like, is it? And then I was like, oh, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
30 is pretty crazy. 30 is a crazy number to hit.
It's a crazy number when what did the team get to 88? Is that what they got to? So yeah, it's a nice chunk of that 88. All right, let's do a little bit of a prediction for these next few games here. I think we're both predicting win for Chicago.
Oh, again, a nightmare if they lose it. Not a nightmare, but just...
It's a jinx. A little bit of a jinx. And hopefully not a trap game.
But it's not like a like the last Chicago game was where it's like the fifth leg of this long road trip. It's like they were, you know, just did... This was the first game in Washington, and then tomorrow they're in Chicago, and then they're back home.
Yeah,
so
true.
Less of a trap than I feel like the last one was. That last one was ugly against Chicago. You could tell they were just tired, and they were just like, thank God Chicago's so bad, and they were missing so many players.
Would you be happy with a win in Chicago, a loss at home against Atlanta, and a split with the Phoenix?
No, I think that's the most realistic option. But I think you especially want Atlanta at home.
Can they beat Atlanta at home, though? Is it realistic?
They beat them on the road, and they almost beat them on the road the first time, even though that went... I don't know what the points ended up after that first game, but I've said on this podcast multiple times, you change a few things that you had the game for 3.5 quarters. So I think they were leading every single quarter, going into every single quarter or something like that, in that first game that they ended up losing. So I definitely think they can beat Atlanta at home, but I think Atlanta's full squad now. The second game they played, they did not face Ryan Howard, and she is back. So
that first game, which was July 7th, Alicia Gray had 24. And in that second game, Valkyries won that second game, right?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, that was the Zandalasini three.
That was the
bucket. That was the bucket.
That was the infamous green monster getting thrown onto the court. That was the first game it happened.
That is so bad.
So
I'm like literally embarrassed for people to do stuff like that.
Yeah.
Did you hear Zena basically say, when did shame go away? Because if we still had shame, we need to show these people who are doing this and shame them out of doing this.
Yeah, I'm completely with Zena and Sabrina on it. Like, it was funny after the first one, and then the second one, it's like, okay, and then it just kept happening, and then you figure out why it happened and who it came from, and it just ruins everything.
Is it really the crypto bro stuff? Is that really...
I'm trusting Ben. I mean, Ben did the full story on it, and that's what it sounds like, some meme coin or whatever. Like, I feel as lost as I did with the NFT stuff. I don't even know what that world is.
Yeah, it's a crazy world.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we have some basketball, man. Ann Killian from the San Francisco Chronicle. She wrote an article that I feel you. You know, that we've talked about doing the Giants game, Valkyries game on the same day kind of thing. Like, we've seen people do that.
I was wondering if you were going to do it when you went to the Giants game.
If I had more time, I would have done it. But she wrote this article and she was like, you know, you have these two franchises, they have similar records, yet you are so unfulfilled by the Giants. And even though the Valkyries are not world beaters, you are so enthused by the Valkyries. Now, some of this is just that the expectations are so much different. Like,
totally,
the Valkyries don't have expectation as an expansion team, but they are outplaying whatever you thought they would do. And the Giants, on the other hand, you know, they're just such a disappointment, and they're like connected in this interesting way because they, you know, they only play, I don't know, what is that, about like 2 miles? The parks are like 2 miles away from the arena or something like that.
Is it even two? Probably two on the dot, if that, like maybe less.
Yeah. So I thought that was really interesting because I was like, I feel you. I do a podcast about the Giants and I'm so frustrated and so embarrassed and so like just disappointed. And then you do this show with the Valkyries and, you know, we can be critical about certain things, but you're just so excited to watch them play because they're just overperforming what you thought that could even be possible. So
yeah, it just feels like the Valkyries are playing with house money and the Giants are have to worry. Like, it's like the Dodgers get everyone and the Giants, like, this is a fun season.
Dodgers are playing bad too. Franchise. The Giants could just scrape together a few wins that might be interesting, but the Dodgers are playing bad too, but the Giants are just terrible team.
Right, I mean, now. Maybe it's different if the Valkyries got Rafael Devers at the deadline. We'd have higher expectations.
Who would be the Rafael Devers of the WNBA? All right. So this week on this network, we're going to record another episode of We Want Winners. So 49ers are back in town, or back in the mix. They have a playoff game, exhibition game on Saturday against the Raiders. And I guess like some of the starters may actually play. So that might be more fun than usual. Rod and I will get back together and we will put out an episode Monday morning on audio and video. Then Brad and I will be back later on Monday to go live on this YouTube channel. And then we'll put the audio up for Tuesday morning. And then Brian and I will be back next week. And we'll see. We may be able to talk a little bit more about the change in branding here for this podcast specifically. Nope, it is not going to be called Violet the Raven podcast. we are not changing it to Violet. Violet may have her own podcast at some point. That might be the new thing, the mascot podcast. All right. if Violet wanted a podcast, don't you think people would listen?
I don't know. I think it would be almost criminal to give the mascot like a human English voice, American voice. Like, that would just be weird.
If Violet needs a home, man, we are available.
Oh, man.
We would put it up. We would definitely put up a Violet the Mascot podcast. All right. That is it from here. Thanks to Ghost. Thanks for Valky Hoops for checking in and hanging out with us. It's fun when we get some live comments on this show because sometimes they think of things that I was like, oh, yeah, it's a good point. We should bring that up in the show. For Bri, I am Double G. We will see you when we see you. Peace out.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.